Oh man, we're back. What is up? Welcome in. We are thirsty this Thursday for what the hell happened in Congress. I know I am. Javi, you have a breakdown we can run through. I have comments on the reactions that we've seen on Twitter today. But first and foremost, what are you guys watching? Let's dive and listening to. Let's dive right on in. Get us started, AT. It's a big day, Javi. It's a big, big day, man. In the world of cannabis, we already have Tesla stock, new CEO name for Twitter. I mean, that's kind of actually cool news. Not going to lie. But welcome to Cannabis Insider, y'all. Hope everybody is having a great day.
Give me back my free blue check. That's what. What I have to say for Twitter.
Javi fought so freaking hard to be verified. He finally gets verified, and like less than a year later, you get that taken away.
I threw all kinds of fits, complained on Twitter, tagged Twitter support, spoke to Twitter, had people retweet me, endorse me.
I remember you were like livid for months at Twitter because you couldn't get verified. And it's just the irony of ironies, man. Elon Musk just pulled the rug from under you.
I mean, the one thing I'm going to say is that is a social media persona, right? And in real life, none of this matters. And I don't care at all. Neither should you. Neither should anyone. But I'm going to say one thing, right? Out of the many implications of this blue tick removal, the one that complicates me the most is knowing who are the real politicians. I don't mind if there's Snoop Dogg impersonator or whatever, but I do need to know who is the real Representative Perlmutter.
Some exceptions would make sense to the rule. I think you're absolutely right. You know what, though? I'm going to start a Javier Haas impersonation account, and I'm going to ruin your name. It is on. We'll see who wins out.
As long as they don't have the SEC up my rear end, I should be fine.
Well, the SEC has to hate this rule more than anybody else, man. They don't know who to go after. They're going to be falsely accusing people of shit all the time. Anyways, Javi, it's a big day, man. We had a hearing in front of the Senate Banking Committee on safe banking. This was a pretty thin bill, pretty bare bones for what it is, which is basically federally legalizing institutions to bank cannabis. And also it would help with 280E reform. But Javi, can you give us a rundown, man? Do you have some thoughts on the hearing today and, of course, some context?
I mean, it was an interesting hearing. They were discussing the banking challenges for the industry with a primary focus on Safe Banking Act. Today, it's important to keep in mind that no votes were taken. This was a purely informational discussion today. They had testimony from both sides of the issue. What's interesting about this bill specifically this time around, this bill has been introduced into the House many times. What's different about this time, it's that it got real bipartisan support. It was refiled by Senators Jeff Merkley, Democrat, and Steve Daines, Republican. And they have like very interesting arguments. You know, Merkley, who is a Democrat, argues that federal law has not kept up with the changing state and local laws, leaving legitimate cannabis businesses without access to these essential financial services. And this bill would promote not only the businesses, but public safety in general, support small businesses, and minimize money laundering risks. For Dane, it is important to emphasize on his end, right, as a Republican, he says this is not legalizing marijuana. Even though legalization is a common sense measure that would alleviate public safety threats, in general, this legislation is a piece that works in that regard, right?
It all seems very, what's the issue? right? So, like, I mean, there are some notes here. I saw a lot of reactions on Twitter about a certain was it Kevin Sorbit?
Sabbath, yeah.
Sabbath, yeah. Sabbath. I want to say like boo, Sherman.
Boo, Kevin.
That's yeah, we're not a fan, I gather, in the cannabis space. Sounds no. like he thought it would lead to anarchy. From my understanding there. I don't know. Javi, does cannabis lead to anarchy? Can you clarify that for our listeners?
It does not. And actually, there was an interesting response from Senator Fetterman, who made this guy, prohibitionist Kevin Sabbat, acknowledge that, you know, chaos does not ensue. And he had to acknowledge that at least in Canada, the country did not descend into this post-legalization anarchy.
There was post-legalization price compression, if you want to, you know, pick and choose here. But anarchy, is it a gateway? You know, worried about the younger generation and advertising to them, like, okay, put restrictions on it, put regulations. You already are. But yeah. For the love of God, these are businesses. These are people trying to do a business. Now, there was. This didn't get a lot of press because I think people hated the Kevin dude a lot on Twitter. But listening to this in terms of opposition, there are some who believe it could exacerbate problems by giving a sense of resolution while a significant conflict in federal law still exists, referring mm-hmm. to Michelle Sullivan from Dama Financial. And that was, I believe, a note from you mm-hmm. there. And so this really bothers me on a number of levels that a participant in the cannabis space would not want, at the very least, some incremental progress to move this industry forward, but only will accept holistic progress. And that is not realistic. It's not been realistic in any industry ever.
It is a fair position. It is definitely not compromise.
It is not a fair position. It's completely subjective. And there's no like proof to back it up.
Well, no, I guess not. I mean, we haven't seen it happen, so there's no way to know.
You know,
right?
You know what this is a great comparison though, because Kentucky, the governor of Kentucky, like before this governor, didn't do sports betting, gambling laws, or marijuana laws because the tax revenue would not solve all their economic issues.
Yeah, that is so. There's this book by this guy called Hirschman, Albert Hirschman, I believe it is, The Rhetoric of Reaction, right? And there's three arguments that conservatives often recur to or fall into resist change. One of them being that change has always a perverse effect that is opposite to what is expected, right? But the only way to find out what the actual effects of change are is pursuing change, right? So this specific argument is in many sense adhering to this rhetoric of reaction, right? Like this would exacerbate this tension between legal state markets and an illicit or federal legality. But the reality is the only way to find out is by passing this law and building upon it. Right.
Well, and she's completely ignoring the fact that what was it exactly? Significant conflict in federal law still exists. How about significant conflict on the dispensary level where people are being robbed because they have so much cash on hand?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, there's a lot I'm sure that was brought up. Like, I can't imagine all of that wasn't covered in the hearing today.
Oh, yeah. But overall, the tone was pretty positive. Morgan Paxia from Poseidon Investment Management and the Poseidon ETF. Said that the industry was well represented, that while opposition continues with this outdated rhetoric from the war on drugs era, it was largely refuted by Senate members and industry representatives. As we mentioned, Brady Cobb was also highlighting, Brady Cobb is a lobbyist, right? And he was also highlighting how even Kevin Sabbat had to acknowledge that legalization does not equal chaos and anarchy. Mm-hmm. Right. So overall, it was a pretty positive tone.
It was a positive tone after the fact. I will say, like Don Murphy, kind of a lobbyist personality on Twitter that we follow for legislative updates, you know, and some interesting comments throughout the hearing saying it's a bit difficult to differentiate between the pro and con witnesses, which I didn't really understand the context of that. But I was like, I don't feel like that's a positive remark, but ultimately,
or maybe it is. It shows that we're
maybe it is. You can take it either way. Yeah, you can take it either way. Absolutely. Anyways, Javi, we could go on this all day, man, but we can't. So give us a quick round robin, man. What are some other things you're watching today?
Cheech and Chong launched their new social network celebrating cannabis culture. It's called Bullmates. You can check it out. I don't know who is ringing my doorbell, but I'm not answering. We had some interesting figures from the Air Force and the Space Force who have begun accepting recruits who used marijuana in the past. In fact, it said that between September 30th and December 31st of last year, the Air Force Recruiting Service granted waivers to 43 applicants who tested positive for THC.
Y'all, if there's not weed in outer space, do we really want to go to outer space? I mean, I feel like, let's be real here. Like, do we really want that life? Keep it going.
It's like those things they do in movies, and it's like if it's in a different zip code, it doesn't count. If it's like over 420,000 feet above ground, the laws are different.
you're an international, you're an unclaimed airspace.
Delaware finally became the 22nd state to legalize adult use cannabis, even by passing the governor's signature. As many may or may not know, Governor John Carney is a vocal opponent of adult use legalization. And while he did not sign the bill, he chose not to veto it. That meant it. He allowed it to, or actually two bills, he allowed them to become law. One of them removes all penalties for marijuana use or possession as long as it does not exceed certain quantities. And the other bill establishes a legal marijuana industry within the state. Very, very cool. And also Colombia moving toward adult use legalization with the measure to legalize recreational cannabis, passing the chambers of representatives with a big majority in votes.
Love it. All right, man. For anything else, you all know what to do. Hit benzinga.com/cannabis for all of Javier and his team's amazing news. 30 plus articles a day on the industry. The most widely read.
One quick plug is after the show.
I was plugging you. What do you mean one quick plug? I was in the process of plugging you. You just interrupted the plug for another plug.
Go for the plug. No,
please continue. I know what you're going to say, and that's an important plug. So.
No, I'm going to say yesterday I spoke to Kim Rivers at Trulieve, TCNNF. They reported Q1 earnings. Somewhat like disappointing results, but a good outlook. We touched on the good, the bad, and the ugly in the earnings report, what's going on in Trulieve and what's going on in Florida. Go check out the interview after the show on benzinga.com/cannabis or on our YouTube channel.
Is it playing here? Are we playing it right after this?
I don't think so. I don't know. AT, are we? It's live.
I don't know. Well, we'll find out. I think we might be playing. Well, I thought maybe.
Stick around. We'll find out.
I don't know. Yeah, stick around for the whole interview. You may see Kim Rivers. You may not. Who knows? TBD. That said, one more plug. Javier and I are interviewing U.S. Representative David Joyce tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Benzinga's YouTube channel. Be there, be square, or both, up to you. But all that said, you'll want to hear what U.S. Representative Dave Joyce thinks about the hearing today, thinks about the opportunity ahead of us and the state of the marijuana industry at large. Super excited to have him on our show in a special edition for the first time ever. Going to be a fun one, y'all. Tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, right where you're at right now. All that said, Javier, we are going to move on to our interview today. Very excited to talk to a gentleman we've been talking to for months now. Finally got him on the show. Tom Epstein, CEO of Steinhaus Holdings and Pollinate. That is with the number 8, Pollinate. Let's bring him on over. Tom,
is it up? How are you?
Good, good, good. We are hanging out, just talking about safe banking and outer
don't
space.
Get started. So, love the energy you guys are bringing. I start thinking, I have now been initiated into the cannabis space. We have a company, we do loyalty, payment processing, all that kind of stuff, but we don't touch plants, right? We have 5 bank accounts, 4 of them with stuff that has nothing to do with cannabis. Mm-hmm. My bank I guess, figured out that, you know, we had something that had something to do with cannabis, whatever. They closed them all, no notice, last Thursday. So,
oh man, it was
stressful all week. This week, I've been like chasing banks around trying to get new banking stuff set up. So, I now know what all of your viewers out there have been going through over the past couple of years. So, even us, you know, vendor guys, we deal with it too. So,
well, let's crazy. Pour. Yeah, that's insane, man. Because your loyalty marketing. Right. Automated loyalty marketing, which is like every industry has loyalty marketing. You don't touch the actual product. You're there as a service for retailers. You're there as a service for brands. Right. Yeah. So dive in a little bit more, you know, into what you're doing with the space, maybe how you got started, because Pollinate is not a super old company in the space. Right.
Not in cannabis, but we've been around for quite a bit. So just background, you know, I've been in payment processing maybe 30 years. I started another company called Franchise Payments Network 17 years ago to do payments and royalty collections and ATM machines, whatever, for the franchise space. We work with about 220 brands nationwide across, you know, the different countries as well. And then we were doing loyalty all along, and then about 6 years ago, we split loyalty out into its own company and created Pollinate. And we used the name Pollinate because there were some really cool features inside the program that help. Mm-hmm. We help turn customers into influencers and help them to go out into the and bring their friends and family into the program. And so we came up with Pollinate because it's like little bees, right? The bees are out there pollinating flowers and bringing the stuff back to make honey, which is the money for the merchant, right? And so, you know, we use that name Pollinate. And when we first got into cannabis about 2 years ago, we were going to go out under a completely different boring name. And we started saying, well, this is the boring name, and I'm not even going to mention it because it's so boring, I'd put all your viewers to sleep. So this is the boring name. And we went to the booth and we had Pollinate there. So we had two different companies. We had the payment processing side and then we had the loyalty mm-hmm. side. And everybody just loved the name of Pollinate, and it really just played well in the cannabis space that we just kind of 86'd the whole boring name. And now we go to market under Pollinate in the cannabis space as well. So
what a really cool case study, and then Javier can jump in, of what you actually do, which is attract consumers to something. So getting that case study in real life, that's actually... That's something we haven't heard before from a loyalty marketing program. That's really cool.
Yeah, well, I think most people in the cannabis space, it's a fairly new industry, so a lot of the companies haven't really got their feet under them and got everything, you know, and learned all the different things that can be done. But in the loyalty space, it's more than just an email club or a text club or something like that. What we try to do is we try to get customers to do something they've never done before, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're giving away your margin. So if you're just discounting something because they're in the loyalty program by 10 or 20% and they come in and they're coming in the same amount of time and buying the same thing, well, I wouldn't want that program either, because you're just lowering your margin. And right now in the cannabis space, from what everybody, you know, hey, my margins are shrinking, my average ticket's shrinking, everything's shrinking, right? And so it becomes a real problem. But that's what makes it good for our platform, because our platform is set up to incent the customer to do something they haven't done before. We want to incent the customer to buy an extra product that they've never tried. We want to get a bigger share of their wallet. I've heard another POS company CEO said that in his studies, he saw that the average cannabis consumer might go to 5 different dispensaries in a month. Well, that sucks if you're a dispensary owner, right?
Yeah, that's terrible.
You want that guy to come into you 5 times in a month. And we all know that that's not true. But if we can incent them to come in 2 or 3 times a month, as opposed to that 1 time a month, then you get a bigger share of that wallet. So if the consumer is going to spend X amount of dollars, you want the most of that X amount of dollars to come to you. And you want them to come back more often and spend more when they get there. And so that's the cool part about any loyalty program, is to drive the consumer behavior to do something that you want that consumer to do to help the merchant. But more importantly, getting back to the name Pollinate, you know, we founded the company at a time when social influencers were really blowing up. And I don't know, you know, a lot of people in this space know, but Net Promoter. So, you know, in the franchise space, we had all these franchisors walking around trade shows talking about, oh, my Net Promoter is 80% or mine's 85. And they were like, you know, but what are you doing with that? Like, everybody did a good job talking about what they did with the detractors. So if somebody said you guys were bad, they'd call them, talk to them, send them a coupon, do something to try to get them to come back in. But the ones that were good, they didn't do anything. And the thought is they're going to tell people, but they don't. If you're a consumer, you don't tell anybody, not very often, that somebody's doing something good, but you sure tell them when they're doing something bad. So that was the whole concept there, was how do we get the people who are your loyal customers, the ones who love your brand, to talk about you? So we automate some things to where we can put posts on the consumer's Facebook or Instagram page or Twitter page or whatever. When they come into the store, there's a post there. And if I'm a cannabis consumer, there's a pretty good chance that my friends and family are also. I'm going to hang out with people that are like-minded. And I might not tell everybody I know that, you know, Elliott's dispensary is an amazing place and Javier stocks the shelves with the best stuff in the world. I may not tell anybody that, right? But if I go in and a post just shows up and all my friends and family see it, and one of them joins the program and they come in and they spend, well, that person's going to be in the program. And now Elliott has acquired a new customer. And we're
how are you collecting that data, if you don't mind me asking, Tom? Sorry for interrupting. But the Facebook, the social media. I mean, I'm curious because at first it sounded like you're the one listening in, right? When I say I want Allbirds, I get the Allbirds ad. Well, let me think that's note. Happened to all of us.
send Elliott Allbirds. Okay, I got you. All right. No, we don't listen in. At least that's what I've been told. Anyway, but. No, when you register for the loyalty program, you're filling out a profile and each individual merchant decides the things that they want to track or whatever it is. So, you know, we know who they are, what zip code they live in, male, female, what's their birthday, these sort of things. And there may be a couple of other things, you know, that a dispensary owner might want to track. Do you prefer flower? Do you prefer edibles? Do you prefer vapes? You know, whatever it is, you know, that you can track these certain things in the fields and make that happen. But it's part of the loyalty program. So when your friend or family clicks on that link, the link with a webhook ties it back to the original owner or the original member. So now we're taking a look at what's the value, lifetime value of a customer, not only what they purchased, but how many new customers did they bring in? And now the dispensary owner can now take a look at it and say, well, you know what? Elliott's a great customer, and maybe we should give him something more than what we're giving him. And so then you can start tiering your loyalty program and start rewarding people for doing things that are above and beyond what a casual consumer would be doing in the space.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask about that, right? I have two key questions from this. One is, you know, what are you giving people, of course, right? Like you say, okay, we are not offering discounts like right away, because that way it's not really loyalty, yeah. Just offering a discount, right? But like, do people instantly get a reward when they post to their social? Is it reliant on conversions? What do they get, right? How does that part work?
Yeah, a lot of it is stuff that we make decisions along with the merchant, so the dispensary owner. But yeah, I mean, best case scenarios are that, you know, if somebody walks in the store and they sign up for the program and they make a purchase, you don't give them a reward right away. They made the purchase. You don't, like, there's no need to do that. But you might give them points. And then as they earn enough points, they get to a level where they get a discount or they get swag in a state where you can't do something or whatever. You get a hat or a t-shirt or something of that nature. And you do reward them for allowing us to do those posts so that if you do a post and a customer comes in, you want to reward them for doing that. And each dispensary owner is going to decide what's that reward worth. So if, let's say, 50 points is worth $5, if you will, maybe the dispensary owner says, hey, if you could just get more people to sign up for the program, whether they buy or not, it's good to have that name in my marketing list. That might be worth 5 points to them, right? 5 out of the 50. So they still got to earn enough up to 50 to get some sort of discount, right? So it might only be worth 5 points. It might be worth 10 points to them or whatever. If the consumer then makes a purchase, the new consumer is going to get points for making the purchase because we want to get them in the program too, right? The original referring person is going to get some points too. I think that referring person should get, on at least the first one, should get something pretty good because I've got a new customer that's spending. I don't know, you know, what cost of acquisition is for any individual merchant, but, you know, people are spending a lot of money to compete, especially in these days with the, you know, the other dispensaries yeah. that they're working with, and then just advertising costs to get new customers to just reward them points. It's a no-brainer because now they have to come in to redeem those points. So mm-hmm. you're not paying anything unless something happens, right? The consumer comes in and buys something.
I'd like to zoom out for a second. Can you give us a sense of, you know, loyalty programs that come to mind are you, Spring Big. You know, I think there are a couple others that I'm just not thinking of right now. But how much of the industry actually uses loyalty marketing? Like, I mean, I actually don't know. I'm not sure if you have perspective or insight into that.
Well, I think, you know, there are companies like Spring Big that have done a really good job of integrating into a lot of the point of sale systems. And, but this is kind of where it's a little bit different. So Spring Big, they do a great job at what they do, but they're not really at that level as far as a loyalty company. I see them more as a marketing company that tags along to some of the other marketing efforts that people do. So, you know, the email clubs and the texting and all that kind of stuff, but they don't like, they're more passive, I would say. They're not tracking the points and making decisions based on, you know, how many points are being used or doing some automated triggers because we know our customer comes in once a month and we didn't see them this month. So at 5 weeks, we automatically send that customer a specific offer that says, come back in and you get this because we missed you, right? So it's more of an outbound loyalty program that drives action as opposed to just tracking how often somebody comes in and reporting, you know, that this is what's happening and, you know, here's your email, you know, platform and those sort of things. So I think that there's not a lot of people doing what we're doing. We would tie into it, people like Spring Big, to give them those analytics that they're looking for, to give them that extra, you know, aggressive, I hate, not aggressive, but outbound opportunity to do those things.
Very cool.
It's yeah. interesting that you mentioned this because the question I had jotted down for you was, how is your approach loyalty and not marketing, right? The opposite of what you're saying, because, you know, it from where I'm sitting, it's, you know, what you were saying is, okay, you know, we're not doing a classic loyalty approach where it's like a text club or something, but rather coming up with different ideas for people to do things they weren't doing, which to me is basically marketing. It's selling something versus the classic approach to loyalty, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this all came from years and years of in the franchise space, right? So we're a merchant processing company. We can't do credit card processing in cannabis yet. And when that happens, we just flip a switch and we're good, but it's not there yet. But we're a merchant processing company. Like for years, we've been doing merchant processing and we had gift cards and loyalty programs and all that on the side. And we kind of figured out, like, you know, not only to the benefit of the merchant, but to our benefit. Like if we can get those customers to come in more often and spend more money, they're increasing the transactions on our platform, right? So we don't have to have more merchants because those customers are doing more when they come in. So it made more sense for us to really dig down into this and see how we can change behaviors to get them to come in. And then the win-win is, you know, the customer's getting something good. They're more engaged with the brand. The brand is doing better because they're getting more customers coming in more often and spending more. And we're doing better because we're seeing more transactions. So it all worked out very well when you talk about that whole ecosystem.
Awesome. So, Tom, last couple minutes here, if we can keep this to a few minutes, I want to give you a chance to showcase a report that Benzinga was able to support with some media, but you guys worked very, very hard on. So, AT, if you don't mind putting this up for us, we will, I don't know if you're able to give us a quick zoom, but Tom, as we're looking at this, man, just give us a sense of what this is.
Well, I'm sure everybody who's watching this can just read everything very well. So what you're going to have to do is go to our site, I think, and download it. It's just on our website, Pollinate, as you said, with an 8-420. And right there in the middle of the homepage, there'll be a link and you can get to all that data. But what we did was we surveyed about 5,000 cannabis professionals. And we just really wanted to get a sense, there it is, of what's going on in the marketplace right now. You know, what are the dispensaries and the businesses out there, what are they using today? What are they like? You know, what are the payment types that seem to be working? And what are they most interested in? And so these graphs here that you'll see on this front page kind of talk to that. Obviously, you know, the number one thing that people want is an alternative to the credit card network or a credit card that actually can be accepted in a dispensary. And we're working toward that with a new competing brand that competes with Visa, MasterCard. They're looking to get launched here pretty soon, but they were put together specifically to help the cannabis space. So they're not going to have the same restrictions that Visa, MasterCard have, and they're not attached to a federal bank that makes them have a problem, you know, with that, with the issuance of cards. I was surprised to see, you know, the number three there. It says apps and crypto. You know, we have the ability inside of our consumer app for people to pay for product with crypto. And it's nice. Really sexy to talk about, and it's really cool. And I think early on in the payment, you know, conversations in cannabis, everybody's like, well, crypto's got to be the solution because nobody's going to pay with their credit card anytime soon. It just hasn't been. Like, you know, crypto is still probably less than 1% of all the transactions in the cannabis space. And I don't know necessarily that it's going to get more than maybe 4 or 5% when it maxes out. It's just, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see on that. But I was surprised by that. So some of the results in here, I think, you know, people are going to really be surprised to see.
Very cool. Yeah. Tom, thank you so much. Everybody check this out. Pollinate-420.com. It is really, really interesting for sure. And honestly, any type of data, any study for the space is beneficial for all of us to understand. So thank you all for undergoing that. But Tom, yes, as we finish up here, man, any last thoughts, you know, for loyalty marketing, for, where people can find you, just any last things you want our audience to know before we wrap up?
Well, you know, not really. I mean, you put on the screen where everybody can find me, so that's no problem getting a hold of us. I really think, you know, loyalty is really what's going to help the industry to drive those transactions. I know everybody's talking about safe banking. I don't think safe banking is really going to be the thing that fixes the payment side of it. Mm-hmm. I think safe banking is something that's going to help out with, you know, being able to write off expenses on your taxes. I think Javier spoke on that a little bit a minute ago, and you know, being able to have a DDA account that doesn't get shut down and things like that. But it's still going to be a little ways off, I think, before they open up the floodgates and allow credit card processing. So in the meantime, you know, we're all looking at technologies around, you know, ACH and PIN debit and private label cards and crypto and things like that that are going to help drive more of the transactions away from cash and into something that is electronic and can be better managed. So
wonderful.
We're happy to help the industry do that.
Awesome. Tom Epstein, CEO and founder of Stein House Holdings and Pollinate. Check him out, pollinate-420.com. Awesome to have you, sir. Really appreciate it. To be continued, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Been fun.
See you. Thanks.
It was cool. I always love a good marketing discussion, man. Yeah, you can't have enough of it in cannabis.
Taking some lessons from it too, man. Honestly, some good insights there in terms of generating loyalty.
Well,
and how to better leverage that contact information that you get from people, right?
Yeah.
Don't offer the discount at checkout. People are already there. They're already buying, right?
Well, and if you're a business looking for loyalty,
return.
Yes, exactly. And if you're a business looking for loyalty, check them out, y'all. I mean, they've worked with some pretty big names outside of cannabis. I mean, I know Tropical Smoothie Cafe, the best out of the ones I saw, but GG's Cupcakes, very familiar with all those. And I will say, Tom, if you're still listening, if you get free products, I will submit my resume shortly. but all that said, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. Tune into Cannabis Daily throughout the week. Check out Cannabis Daily Podcast on Apple, Spotify. I'm plugging myself right now because we have had a ton of earnings. We've gone over a lot of analyst reports on what they think of these top tier MSOs that reported. We've seen Ascend, we've seen Schwazze, we've seen Verano, we've seen Truly, we've seen some Canadians like Village Farms. We've covered a lot of reports this week. So if you want deep dives into those as we touch on them, either A, go read it, benzinga.com/cannabis, or B, go listen to it, benzinga.com/podcast, Cannabis Daily. With that being said, Javier, last words to you, my brother. Always a pleasure.
Go check out Elliot's podcast. No plugs for me today. That is the best way to get your information. Not saying that benzinga.com/cannabis isn't great, but if you want all of your information packaged in 5 minutes,
I talk really fast.
Dude, that is like a drive to, I don't know, like I walk to the market, like to the corner store.
Dude, like, I swear you get smarter.
Not the right corner, but the next corner.
Yeah, I swear, no, I don't swear you get smart. I swear you at least don't get dumber. How about that? You at least don't get dumber by listening to me. That is my promise to you all. Javi, appreciate you, my friend. Tom, thank you again. Producer AT, we heart you. We will see you guys tomorrow for a special episode at 11 a.m. with U.S. Representative Dave Joyce, Republican from Ohio. Very excited to chat with Dave, Representative Joyce. I'm going to not use his first name. He is cooler than I am. That said, we'll see you guys tomorrow, y'all. Peace. We'll be right back.